Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives of families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered. And in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our readers. And the question last week was part 5 of My partner is in intensive care on a ventilator. The intensive care team wants to do a tracheostomy and I want to have him extubated. What do I do? That was part 5 last week. You can check out the answer to last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. And if you're watching this on YouTube, just click on the link onto the website and there you can check out the other episodes. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer the next question from Heather as part of her consulting sessions via Skype, phone and email with me. Previous questions, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4 and part 5 from Heather, you can find answered by clicking on the links below this video on our website. So today Heather asks, my partner is in intensive care on a ventilator. The intensive care team wants to do a tracheostomy and I want to have him extubated. What do I do? Part 6. So Heather asks, hi Patrick. A few more issues have come up since we last spoke and they have now found that first, he has liver cirrhosis. This is the first that I have heard of when I visited my partner yesterday. They are giving him albumin and they have taken him off the Lasix. They have done this before. Why does the swelling keep happening? They did a CT of his abdomen and he had fluids pooling up there and he's weeping where his chest tube was. When he was first admitted to the ICU at the first hospital, they wanted consent for a PICC line. And the kidney doctor wouldn't okay it, so they went with a main line instead. The kidney issues were under control, so the kidney doctor signed off the case. I was just wondering if the PICC line put some strain on the kidneys maybe. He's now off the propofol but still on the fentanyl. He had hallucinations, delirium and that causing agitation that was due to pain, I think. They gave him hydromorphine and now he's sleeping. He's still having the muscle spasms, I think because of the quetiapine. I don't know for sure though. They are also giving him Depakine. Is this stuff something that everyone who gets intubated gets or just him? If it's for agitation or hallucinations, it isn't working. I have read about several adverse reactions. Do you think if I ask them to stop giving them to him that it would make things worse? I know these meds are for treatments of bipolar and schizophrenia and I don't have a bias against that. I have had experience with mental illness and I know that it's very much trial and error as to which meds are working and which doesn't. I don't think with all of the other stuff going on we can accurately treat any of that, but I also don't know if his mental state is because of the other stuff could be worse without it. I feel like my partner with no mood stabilizers and antipsychotic meds would be able to cope with things. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Do you think it would hurt things if I asked them to stop those meds right now? I have also read something about those and the napsilin contributed to liver malfunction. I have to do more research there. The nurse did say he had ICU delirium and quetiapine is being used to treat the delirium and the psychosis. I just want to know what you think, because it could be I'm just picking on the quetiapine. I did read something about it and liver failure. He just woke up now and he's clearly hallucinating and mouthing for help and sticking out his tongue. He starts breathing the machine again and is now breathing more by himself. It would be good if we can speak on Skype again so that you can explain to me what's really going on. Many thanks, Heather. So, let's look into Heather's question now. Hi, Heather. Let's look at the easy things first. No, there is definitely no issue with pig lines causing kidney disease whatsoever. Given that your partner has liver cirrhosis, it would be good if you could also tell me whether the cirrhosis has been alcohol drug induced or whether it has been induced by acquiring hepatitis inadvertently, or sometimes you can even be born with a hepatitis. In any case, you've got to look at the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is that your partner is in intensive care with a tracheostomy after a couple of failed weaning attempts off the ventilator. His liver is failing with cirrhosis, and the challenge here is that numerous medications he's getting may not metabolize, or in other words, don't work because of the liver failure. I therefore won't be getting caught up in what medications he's getting or not getting and whether they are working or not working because of the inability of the liver to metabolize most of the drugs. The main questions and issues you and your partner are dealing with are: will he have enough strength and reserves to get off the ventilator and the tracheostomy? And yes, swelling is a side effect of the liver failure or hepatitis. Therefore, he needs albumin to reduce the swelling. A failing liver stops albumin production, and with low albumin, people get swollen. All the medications your partner are getting is to keep him calm and pain-free. It's particularly challenging because your partner is blind and he would be more agitated than other critical patients in a similar situation. Quetiapine normally works really well, from my experience, to calm patients down when they are on a ventilator. But all the medications he's getting, whether the quetiapine, the hydromorphine and the fentanyl, are there to calm him down. The problem is that your partner has been in intensive care for way too long now, as he's reaching the 2-month mark. ICU psychosis or ICU delirium is a real issue, and as I mentioned before, your partner not being able to see doesn't help his case. What needs to happen here is to wean the medications he's on off slowly over many days, and he also needs to continue with the physiotherapy. Physiotherapy and stimulation are so important that your partner can get back to normality. Drugs and medications can only ever be a short-term aid, but never a long-term strategy. Normally, I would say that especially after 2 months in intensive care, your partner should be moved into a room where he can have natural daylight, as most intensive care units don't get much natural daylight. However, with your partner's inability to see, it may well not be so important, but it's something you may want to keep in mind. Furthermore, the nurses should be looking at getting your partner to have regular showers. This often works wonders too, and can just be as good, if not better, as medicine to get your partner out of the delirium. Unfortunately, all too often, critically ill patients in intensive care, especially long-term critically ill patients in intensive care, end up being delirious, and it's a big issue. It often stops them from moving forward. They may physically improve, however, they are still in la-la land, if you will, and getting them out of that state is critically important. As I said before, drugs can only ever be an aid, but not the cure. Stimulation, physiotherapy as well as good nursing care are often the answer. You should also check out this article for more information about delirium in intensive care. you should check out the article and video, The 5 Things You Need to Know If Your Loved One Is Confused, Agitated and Delirious in Intensive Care. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, click on the link below the video that gets you to our website and you can check out all the other articles there. Now, going back to your question, Heather, you also mentioned Depakine, and it's unclear to me why your partner is getting it. It's normally given to prevent seizures. However, you never mentioned anything about seizures. We also have a great resource, ebook, videos, and audio recordings available that'll help you to steer the ship while your partner remains a long-term patient in intensive care and is also at risk for treatment limitations and withdrawal of treatment. I have written an ebook, Follow This Proven 6-Step Process on How to Be Powerful, In Control, Influential, and Have Peace of Mind if your loved one is a long-term patient in intensive care or is facing treatment limitations in intensive care. Again, check it out by clicking on the link below this video. I know, Heather, it's easier said than done, but you need to be patient. Being critically ill in intensive care often means 2 steps forward and 1 step back. I know this situation is tiring and exhausting for you, but you need to stay strong for your and your partner's sake. Your partner still has a long way to go, and he needs to get out of the delirium first so that he can comply with the instructions as well as the physiotherapy in order to be weaned off the ventilator. I think it's best if the two of us get on Skype again in the next 12 to 24 hours and we can speak in more detail. Take care. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one, and how can you get peace of mind, control, power and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You get to that all-important feeling of peace of mind, control, power and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn quickly how to get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free instant impact report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to peace of mind, control, power and influence in your situation. You'll get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You'll get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered, and I'll see you again in another update next week. Make sure you also check out our blog section where you get more tips and strategies, or send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Or you can call us. Find our phone numbers on our contacts tab. Also, check out our product section where you get more ebooks, videos and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one consulting with me via Skype, over the phone or via email by clicking on the products tab. This is Patrick Hatzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.